Shri Shuka Uvacha. Shri Shukadeva Goswami said, Eka Ekasha. Each one of them. Taha.
They.
Krishnasya.
Of Lord Krishna.
Putran.
Sons.
Dasha.
Ten each.
Abala.
The wives.
Aji.
Ajijanan.
Gave birth to.
Anavaman.
Not inferior.
Pitu.
To their father.
Sava.
In all.
Atma.
His personal.
Sampada.
Opulences.
Translation
and purpose by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. Shukadeva Goswami said, each of Lord Krishna's wives gave birth to 10 sons, who were not less than their father, having all his personal opulence. Translation responsibly. Shukadeva Goswami said, Each of Lord Krishna's wives
gave birth to ten sons,
who were not less than their father, having all his personal opulence. Purport. Lord Krishna had 16,108 wives. And thus this verse indicates that the Lord begot 161,080 sons. Text 2. Because each of these princesses saw that Lord Achyutya never left her palace, each thought herself the Lord's favourite. These women did not understand the full truth about him. Purport. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur notes that Lord Krishna would leave the palaces only with the permission of his wives, and thus each one considered herself his favourite. Text 3. The Supreme Lord's wives were fully enchanted by his lovely lotus-like face, his long arms and large eyes, his loving glances imbued with laughter, and his charming talks with them. But with all their charms, these ladies could not conquer the mind of the all-powerful Lord. Purport. The previous verse stated that Lord Krishna's queens could not understand the truth of the Lord. This truth is explained in the present verse. The Lord is all-powerful, full in himself, with infinite opulence. Omagyana timanandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshurin militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swa Padantikam Vancha Kalpatu Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Petitana Pavanebhyo Vaishna Vebhyo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadahara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So it is being described here that Krishna had 16,108 wives. So this was a way that Krishna could display his unlimited opulence as the supreme personality of Godhead. He could have had more wives if he desired. Prabhupada said 16,108 is nothing for the supreme personality of Godhead. If he desired, he could have had 16 million or 1600 million like that. There's no limitation for Krishna like that. But by the potency of Yoga Maya, which means Krishna's internal potency, Yoga Maya allows Krishna's pastimes to take place. Without Yoga Maya, Krishna's pastimes cannot they cannot manifest sweetness or madhurya. In Krishna's pastimes, it is said that in the spiritual sky and the spiritual world, it is described in Brahma Samhita that there are four dharmas, like that. Each one gradually, progressively higher. So the first dharma is called Devi Dharma. What is Devi Dharma?
Maya,
yeah. Well, what is Devi Dharma? How do we define Devi Dharma?
Material
world. Yeah, the material world. It is a dharma. What is a dharma? It's a place like that, a dharma, an abode like that. So it is the abode of Devi. Who is Devi? Yeah, Durga. Durga is Lord Shiva's wife. So she is in control of the material world. Lord Shiva and Parvati, his wife, are in control of the material world. Because in the beginning of the creation of the material world, Lord Mahavishnu glances at the material energy. The material energy is asleep, or it is dormant. It is not active at this point in time. So he sees Devi, he sees the material energy, the personality of Maya, like that. And he glances at that material energy. And Lord Shiva, who is the partial incarnation of the Lord, Lord Shiva is a very interesting personality. Because when we describe the Absolute Truth, we have different tattvas. What does tattva mean? Yeah, it's like a truth, tattva. So we have jiva tattva, right, the jivas. Then we have Vishnu tattva, right? Then we have Shakti tattva. And then we have Shiva tattva. Now Shiva is not any of those. He's not a jiva, he's not Vishnu, and he's not Shakti. Right? He's separate. He's a different potency altogether. So this is called Shiva tattva. So Lord Shiva, he is practically as powerful as Vishnu himself. Practically. I mean, he is Mahadev. Right? He's much more powerful than any of the other demigods. Much more powerful. Even the most powerful demigods are quite insignificant compared to Lord Shiva. He's extremely powerful. He's almost as powerful as Vishnu. In his original form, in Vaikuntha, he is actually Narayan. In Vaikuntha, there are many, just like you see in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are many Vaikuntha planets. And on one of those Vaikuntha planets is Sadashiva Loka, which means it is the eternal abode of Lord Shiva, who is actually, in his original form, is a form of Narayan or Vishnu. Right? He is God himself. But when he expands into this world, into the material world, then he becomes a separate potency called Shiva Tattva. Right? He loses his full Narayan potency. So Lord Mahavishnu glances at the material energy, at Maya, and then Lord Shiva carries that glance and passes it to Maya. Or in other words, he impregnates Maya. The Lord impregnates Maya with the glance to make Maya active. And Lord Shiva carries that glance. So he contacts the material energy directly. Therefore, that's what differentiates him from Vishnu or Narayan. We see in the Brahma Samhita, it says that Lord Shiva, to understand Shiva Tattva, Lord Brahma says in the Brahma Samhita, it is like the difference between milk and yogurt. When milk is, when you add an acidic element to milk, then it transforms into yogurt. So milk can become yogurt, but yogurt cannot become milk. Right? You can't transform it back like that. So Lord Brahma gives this example for us to understand. This is what Lord Shiva is like. He's like Vishnu or Krishna. He's like the Supreme, but who comes in contact with the material energy and then becomes a separate tattva. Right? Not Jiva, not Shakti, not Vishnu anymore, but Shiva. Right? Almost Vishnu, but not quite, because he contacts the material energy. Whereas Vishnu or Narayan never contacts, Krishna never contacts the material energy. So that is the difference. So one of Lord Shiva's names is Tamasi. Tamasi means he is the Lord of the mode of darkness, the mode of ignorance. Like that. Why? Because he comes in contact with the material energy. It is not that he is overcome by the material energy. You should understand this point. Sometimes, not sometimes, but practically all the time, we see pictures of Lord Shiva. And what is he adorned with? Snakes. What else?
Skulls.
What else?
Ashes.
Ashes, yeah. Smears his body with ashes. What else?
Moon.
Yeah, has the half moon, the crescent moon. Not the half moon, but the crescent moon in his hair. What else?
Trident.
Trident, yeah. So, things in the mode of ignorance. But it is not that when he comes in contact with these things that he becomes overcome. You cannot walk into this temple wearing skulls, or snakes, or covering your body in ashes. You cannot enter the temple like that. That is aparad. But Shiva can do it, because he's not contaminated by these things. So we should understand that although he associates with those in the mode of ignorance in order to uplift them, it says that his associates are ghosts and hobgoblins, right? Tamasic creatures, dark creatures. But he only associates with them to uplift them, to give them his association so that they'll be purified and uplifted. It's not that he becomes in any way contaminated by their association. Right? He's far too powerful. So, Brahma Samhita describes the first dharma is called Devi Dharma, which is the abode of Durga, who is Lord Shiva's wife. So Lord Shiva's wife, Durga, she controls this dharma. Shiva and Durga control the material world. Lord Shiva is the lord of false ego. And it is by false ego that all of us are bound in this material world. That's why we can't get out of this material world. That's why we keep every day, we wake up in the morning and we keep remaining bound within this material energy, within this material body, right? Identifying with the material mind, right? Why is all this taking place? Because of false ego. And because of false ego, that's why we are controlled in the material world. Right? So he is the lord of false ego. And Durga, his wife, she is in control of many of the different elements in the material world. She carries a trident. It describes in Brahma Samhita, she carries a trident. Trident means a three-pronged spear. So those three prongs represent the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, ignorance. The three types of kleshas, adi-bhautik, adi-devik, adi-atmik, klesh. Past, present, future, right? All these different things are represented by these, the three modes of nature, goodness, passion, ignorance, the three gunas, like that. So she controls everyone in the material world by this trident. So therefore this is Devi Dharma. This is the place where everyone is controlled by Shiva and Parvati. So this is the first dharma. Now if you want to get out of this dharma, then you have to change your attitude. Because in the material world, everyone has an attitude problem. Everyone has an attitude problem. Sometimes we hear people say, he has an attitude problem. Or she has an attitude problem. Well, I'm here to tell you today, my friends, that all of us have got an attitude
problem
in the material world. All of us. Right? Just remember, when you point a finger at someone, three fingers point back at you. Right? So you say, you've got an attitude problem. Yes. But Hare, good morning, you also have an attitude problem. Right? We all have got it. And what is this attitude that we have? It is called Purusha Bhav. Means I want to be God. I am God. Purush means the enjoyer, the controller. I am Purush. Good morning. Welcome to my universe. Thank you for all attending this morning. Today, I am going to enjoy unlimitedly. And you will all simply assist me in my plans for enjoyment. Hare Krishna. So this is Purusha Bhav. And that's why all of us are in this material world. Right? We're all caught up by this mentality that I will enjoy, separate from God. I am God. This is our mentality. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Ishwaroham aham bhogi, siddoham balavan sukhi. That all of us think that we are Ishwara. All of us think we are bhogi, the enjoyer. Therefore, we stay in the material world. Like that. So if you want to get out of the Devi Dham, then you have to change your attitude. From Purusha Bhav to Jivera Swarupa Hoy, Krishnera Nitya Das. I am the eternal servant of Krishna. Like that. Gopi Bhatu Pada Kamalayo Dasa Dasa Anu Dasa. Like that. This is how to get out of the material world. You have to change your attitude. Right? The attitude that you have now, you have to reverse it. Instead of going away from God, away from Krishna, you have to go towards God, towards Krishna. Like that. You have to serve Him submissively. This is devotional service. This is our opportunity. So if we do this, then Lord Shiva will release us. Durga will release us. Krishna will say to them, release this jiva. Let this jiva come to the higher dharms. So the next dharm up from Devi Dham is Mahesh Dham. Mahesh Dham means Shiva's abode. Right? It is above this material energy, like that, somewhere in between Vaikuntha and Devi Dham, the material world. This is where Lord Shiva resides. Then above Shivaloka, Mahesh Dham, is Vaikuntha Dham. In Vaikuntha Dham, there are, just like you see on the front cover of the Srimad Bhagavatam, on the first canto, you'll see there are unlimited Vaikuntha planets. And in those unlimited Vaikuntha planets, there are unlimited forms of Lord Narayan, four-armed Vishnu forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, what is the mood in the Vaikuntha planets?
Awe and reverence.
Awe and reverence. What do we call that in Sanskrit?
No anxiety.
Yeah. Vaikuntha? Yeah, it means no anxiety. But what do we call it?
Aishwarya.
Yeah, Aishwarya. Aishwarya means opulence. So in Vaikuntha, it is the abode of, it is Aishwarya Dham. Which means it is the abode of unlimited opulence. In Vaikuntha, this is the realm of God, the Supreme Lord. Right? This is His most opulent abode. So in Vaikuntha, there is unlimited opulence. And all of the residents of Vaikuntha, they respect the Lord as being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? They relate to Him with great awe and reverence, with great respect. Right? Lakshmi Narayan, like that. And there are unlimited, and everyone in Vaikuntha has forms like Lakshmi Narayan. Right? There are unlimited devotees, and they all have similar forms. But the Lord has a few special features which differentiate Him from everyone else. What are some of His features which differentiate Him from everyone? Yeah, what is the Kostubha Jam? It is the Lord's gem, Kostubha Mani, right? He wears this on his chest. It is said to be the most opulent of all gems, of all jewels. And he is the only one who has this particular gem. So therefore, they understand this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he's wearing this jet. And also he has Srivatsa. Srivatsa means on his chest there's a very small tuft of golden hair. Right? Very small tuft of golden hair. Because you'll see in the pictures of Krishna or the pictures of Lord Narayan, you'll never see they have hairy bodies. This is something which is reserved for the material world. In the material world we have hairy bodies. In the spiritual world no one has hairy bodies. Right? No one has hairy chests or hairy backs or hairy ears or hairy, you know, wherever it comes out from. Right? So in the spiritual world Krishna has, because he is Navayovana. Navayovana means he's always a youth. So Prabhupada says that even when he was in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, then Krishna was, you know, probably around 100 years old at the time of the Kurukshetra war, but he looked like a young youth, Navayovana. He looked like he was only 25, something like that. He never goes past this age. Krishna never grows hairs. He never has hairy chest or, you know, he never has moustache. Prabhupada says that Krishna has, you know, the devotees said, does Krishna have moustache? Because most men, they grow moustache like that. They said to Prabhupada, does Krishna have a moustache? And Prabhupada said, no, Krishna does not have a moustache. And they said, does Krishna have any hair here? And Prabhupada said, yes, he has some hair. He said, very fine hair. He said, like on a peach. If you get a peach and you like touch it to your skin, and you touch a peach, it has like very fine hair. Prabhupada said, that's what Krishna has here, like very fine hair like that. So he's not gross. He's very like refined personality. So he has little tuft of hair, which is actually Lakshmi. Lakshmi herself appears on Krishna's on Narayan's chest as Srivatsa, this little tuft of hair. And that's how they can differentiate that this is the Supreme Lord. Like that. Of course, they know it's the Lord because the Lord is the Lord. It's not just because, you know, it's not like they go around all day like looking. It's not like they know who it is, they know who's the Lord, but he has some features which no one else has, so everyone can understand this is supreme. So in the abode of Vaikuntha, then it is Aishwarya. Aishwarya means opulence. He is like, you cannot imagine what it's like, right? We cannot imagine how opulent it is. Everything is made of gold. Everything is made of sapphires and rubies and emeralds and diamonds. That's what it's made of. Right? The road, the pillars, just everything. Like that. Just unbelievable opulence. And the Lord is the Supreme Lord enjoying that opulence. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, there is the story of Gopakumar. Gopakumar was one cowherd boy from Govardhan Hill. And he was going back to Godhead. He was going back to Goloka Vrindavan, where he originally came from. And on his way to Goloka Vrindavan, he passed through Vaikuntha. And when he was in Vaikuntha, he saw Lord Narayan from a distance. And Lord Narayan has a bluish-black form. Shyam, right? Same as Krishna. He was looking for Krishna. He was trying to go back to Goloka Vrindavan to find Krishna. But then when he went through Vaikuntha, he saw Lord Narayan from a distance. And Lord Narayan also has bluish-black form, same as Krishna. Also has golden dhoti, same as Krishna. So he thought, oh, there's Krishna. So he called out, he said, hey, Gopal! Hey, Gopal! Right? He called out to him, like as if he was in Goloka Vrindavan. And everyone in Vaikuntha went, shh, hey, you don't just walk around here saying, hey, Gopal. Yeah, this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Narayan. Right? When you go up to him, you say, oh Lord Narayan, you are the Supreme Lord. You are the most opulent personality. You are the Supreme Entity. Ah, my Lord. You know, you great awe and reverence, Aishwarya. You don't just walk around and say, hey, Gopal. Yeah. They said, maybe you should go to Goloka. You know, maybe you should go to another place. You know, this is not the place for you. Like that. So then Gopakumar, he moved on. He went up to Goloka Vrindavan. So in Vaikuntha, the opulence is very powerful. This is Aishwarya Dham. And then there is Devi Dham, Mahesh Dham, Vaikuntha Dham, and finally there is Goloka Dham. Now the Goloka planet, the planet of Krishna, it is said to be bigger than the rest of Vaikuntha put together. Right? Hundreds and thousands, maybe millions of Vaikuntha planets, right? All those little planets of Lord Narayan, all the Brahman effulgence, the entire spiritual world. Bhakti Sanatana Saraswati Thakur says that the spiritual world is three quarters of God's creation, and the material world is only one quarter. So you can imagine that the spiritual world is unlimited. Right? Actually, it's not three quarters. It's actually, there's no end to it. It's unlimited. He just says, gives it an equation to make us understand. But it says that Goloka, Vrindavan, Goloka is bigger than the rest of Vaikuntha put together. Right? And the Goloka planet, Krishna's planet, Loka means place or planet. His planet is shaped like a lotus flower. Huge lotus. You'll see on the first canto of the Bhagavatam, then Goloka is like a huge lotus flower. And on that Goloka planet, on the outer portion of the flower is Dwarka. And then in the middle portion is Mathura. And in the center of the Goloka planet is Vrindavan. Like that. Now that you're on the Goloka planet, it's not exactly Aishwarya anymore. Now, the mood is not Aishwarya, it's not awe and reverence. But the mood on the Goloka planet is more Madhurya. Madhurya means sweetness, right? There's a very sweet mood between the Lord and the Lord's devotees. Now in Dwarka is just like here, we're hearing about Dwarka. Dwarka is the outer portion of the Goloka planet. And on the outer portion of the Goloka planet in Dwarka, the mood is a mixture of Aishwarya and Madhurya together. So you'll see here there's a description that Krishna has 16,108 wives, right? That's Aishwarya, right? If you can have 16,108 wives, that's Aishwarya. If you can even have one wife, right? That's a certain amount of Aishwarya. It's not easy to maintain one wife. What to speak of two? What to speak, say you had 10? Right? What to say, you had 16,108? This is Aishwarya. This is a show of power. And it describes that when Krishna appears in the material world, then Dwarka, his city of Dwarka, floats on the ocean. Right? Once again, a show of Aishwarya, a show of opulence or power. And it is said that Dwarka, when Krishna comes to the material world, Dwarka is 96 square miles in diameter. Right? So it's huge. Right? It's like, goes from like here to, probably like the Dandenongs. Right? It's like the whole of Melbourne, practically. That's what Dwarka's like. It's so big. Right? Just a huge, floating on the ocean. And it says that in that city, when you go inside that city, Krishna has himself 16,108 palaces. And it says that each palace is 4 square miles in diameter, which means that it's 2 miles wide and 2 miles long. That's just his palace. Right? That's not the city, that's just his palace. And he has 16,108 of these palaces. Now, if you line up 16,108, 2 miles wide each, right? So 16,108 multiplied by 2, how much is that? 32,216. Right? So that 32,000 miles all fits within 96 miles of Dwarka. Right? All of that, I mean, what Krishna fits in that 96 square miles, right? You could not fit it in there. That's just his palaces. And then everyone else has a palace as well. Ugrasen has a palace. Vasudev has a palace. Satyaki has a palace. Balaram has a palace. Right? Everyone else has palaces too. And Krishna himself has 16,000. So you can't even fit it in the city. This is Aishwarya. Right? So, you know, when someone says, you know, you go to India, right? And every village in India has a guru. Right? Or you could even say every village in India practically has an avatar. Right? Someone's God. You know, practically in India, you just walk a couple of miles, you'll find someone who's God. Right? And then you walk another couple of miles, there's another one. Right? You're God. Okay? Nice to meet you today. Bhagavan. Like that, nice to meet you. You're living in your little hut. What's this? I am God. Bhagavan. I will destroy the world. I am the Kalki Avatar. This is called Maya. Right? That which is not. Right? It's not. You're not God. Right? One time in the Melbourne Town Hall, Prabhupada was giving a lecture in the Melbourne Town Hall. I think it was 1975. It was I think it was 74 or 75. And one man stood up in the audience, Prabhupada was giving a lecture, one man stood up in the audience and said, I am God. And Prabhupada said, I kick you on the face. He said, what will you do? He said, what will you do? I kick you on the face. What will you do? Huh? What sort of God are you? Huh? If you are God, I will kick you on the face. Then what will you do? If I am God. Don't say like that. It's not proper. It's not proper. Right. It's not, you know, at least come down a few notches, you know, and then someone might believe you. At least, you know, if you say, okay, I'm Lord Brahma, or, you know, and say I'm one of the four Kumaras, you know, maybe everyone will go like, okay, he's half nuts, you know. But if someone says I'm God, then that's just totally deluded, right? But many people say like that, right? Just like, you know, you have a big afro haircut, right, and you go, there's a gold watch. Right. Out of my kaftan, right? There's a gold watch, right? I am God. Right? I am the supreme entity. No. If you're the supreme entity, you have to have 16,108 queens, and for each of those queens, you have to have a palace, right? Which is 2 miles wide and 2 miles long, right? And then, from each queen, as it describes here, from each queen you have to have 10 sons. So then, what is 16,108 times 10? It is 161,080 sons. Right? And Krishna, each one of them had a palace as well.
Within the 96
square miles, right? Each one of them had a palace. Right? And then each one of them had sons as well. Right? Because Krishna had, his first son was Pradyumna and his son was Aniruddha. So there were grandsons as well. Right? This is Aishwarya. So don't say you're a god. Right? If you're a god, you have to do something. Right? Show a universal form. Right? Or, you know, produce some opulence. Show us something that actually impresses us. So Krishna here shows that he is supreme. Right? So in Dwarka, there is some mood between Madhurya and Aishwarya, some mixture. Right? Aishwarya means opulence, Madhurya means sweetness. So what is the sweetness? The sweetness is that everyone thinks that Krishna is their family member. Hmm? Even though they understand he's very powerful, and they may even understand he's God, that is Aishwarya, but they have some Madhurya, they have some feeling that he is our family member. Like that. And here it describes, in the beginning of this chapter, it describes that each of the princesses, each of the queens, they think that Krishna is living only in my palace. Right? I am the most fortunate queen because Krishna stays here all the time. Right? He doesn't go like, you know, one day, one night, one day, one night, one day, one night to each of the palaces. And every 16,000 days he comes back and stays with you. Right? But he stays with all of them simultaneously. Right, that is his Aishwarya. But the Madhurya is that each one thinks that he is only with them. That is the Madhurya. That's what is the sweetness. So then from Dwarka, you go to Mathura. And then in Mathura, then you have more sweetness. Right? It becomes more, the mood of Madhurya becomes more sweet. The opulence is there, the Aishwarya is there, but there's more sweetness. Just like you'll see in the 10th canto earlier on, when Krishna went from Vrindavan to Mathura, then when Krishna killed Kamsa, after Krishna had finished killing Kamsa, then Devaki and Vasudeva, They came to Krishna and Balaram, and Krishna and Balaram, because Krishna and Balaram had just killed Kamsa and Chanurya and Mustik, you know, the wrestlers, and Kuvalayapi, the elephant. So when Devaki and Vasudev came before Krishna and Balaram, who were only like small boys at that time, they first of all, when they saw them, they offered them pranam, because they understood they were not ordinary. You know, they were obviously the Supreme Lord. Like that. Because when Krishna appeared to Vasudev and Devaki in the Kamsa, in the prison of Kamsa, when Krishna first appeared, he appeared first of all with the Narayan form. And then he turned into the baby form of Krishna. So they understood that he was not an ordinary person. He was actually God. So they came before Krishna and Balaram after Krishna had killed Kamsa. And they had folded hands. And they were very respectful with great awe and reverence. And then Krishna and Balaram began to cry. Because their mother and father were standing in front of them like this. And how do you feel if your mother gets up in the morning and she comes to you and goes, son, you're such an opulent personality. You don't feel very satisfied, right? You want some relationship. So when Krishna and Balaram began to cry, then the Aishwarya, or the feeling of opulence, that began to melt, and the Madhurya overcame the relationship. And then Vasudeva and Devaki, they took Krishna and Balaram on their laps and began to smell their hair, right? And milk began to flow from Devaki's breast. And then they felt very satisfied. The natural feeling of parental ras, of vatsalya ras, began to flow, and then that overcame the aishwarya, right? And then the madhurya became very prominent like that. But then, if you go from Dwarka to Mathura, and then you go to the center of the Goloka planet, the center of the Goloka planet is called Vrindavan, like that. So in Vrindavan, there is only a feeling of Madhurya Ras, right? Actually, Vrindavan is more opulent than Vaikuntha. It is even more opulent than Dwarka, right? It's not that Vrindavan is just some dusty village, right, in UP, right, near the Taj Mahal, right? It's not just some dusty village, right? It is actually the most opulent place in the creation of God. But even though it is so opulent, no one in Vrindavan feels that it is a place of opulence. They feel it is only a place of sweetness. And they only relate to Krishna in a very sweet, natural way, that Krishna is our son, Krishna is our friend, or Krishna is our lover. They never feel that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even sometimes they may think that, but they don't care for it so much. They don't become absorbed in that bhav. Just like Mother Yashoda, she said to Krishna, "Are you eating dirt?" Because Lord Balaram said to Mother Yashoda, "Krishna has been eating dirt." So Mother Yashoda said to Krishna, "Have you been eating dirt?" And then Krishna said, "No, I did not eat it." So she said, "Open your mouth." So Krishna opened his mouth, and what did she see? Right? She saw everything. She saw the universe. She saw planets orbiting. Right? She saw herself somewhere deep within that creation, right? Looking in the mouth of Krishna. Right? She saw everything within Krishna, because everything's inside of Krishna. We're inside of Krishna right now. Right? So that is Aishwarya. Right? That is more Aishwarya even than in Dwarka. Right, that is the most powerful display of Aishwarya. Everything is in Krishna. Krishna showed Mother Yashoda. But then Mother Yashoda looked at it and she thought, what is this? You know, I should be seeing a tongue. You know, I should be seeing maybe some teeth and some tonsils. You know, and instead I'm seeing the whole creation in there. So then she closed her eyes, she shook her head like that, and she looked back, and then Krishna, he saw that her natural motherly affection was being affected, so then he withdrew that display of opulence, and then Mother Yashoda looked back, and then she saw Krishna was just, everything was normal again, and then she thought, oh, I must have had some hallucination like that. You know, what I saw could not have been real. And then she thought, she just said to Krishna, anyway, don't eat dirt again. Right? I don't want you eating dirt anymore. Yeah. Whatever that was, I thought I saw it. Just don't eat dirt again. And then her natural motherly relationship towards Krishna, that overcame her again. Yogamaya covered her again, so she was only feeling that relationship with Krishna. So in Vrindavan, there is only sweetness. Even though the opulence is far greater than anywhere else in creation, but no one ever feels overcome by that opulence. Everyone is only absorbed in the sweetness of the relationship between themselves and Krishna. So this is a description of, as the Brahma Samhita describes, all the different abodes of the Lord. So here in Dwarka, we're seeing a mixture of the Aishwarya of the Lord and the Madhurya of the Lord, like that. But when we go to Vrindavan, which is the ultimate abode of the, especially for the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because we are Gaudiya Vaishnavas, and we're trying to follow in the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then our aim or our goal is to go to Vrindavan and to absorb ourselves one day in that mood of relating to Krishna without any awe and reverence, but just purely in the mood of Madhurya. So this is the ultimate message of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we'll stop here and we'll see if there's any questions or comments on what we discussed. Mataji.
This point that the queens in Boko were saying that Krishna is an endeavor, I mean, just practically speaking, would they come out pretty quickly to other queens communicating? And then they would realize, oh, she's in society, you know? So, so how, you know, I mean, this might be a bit of a stupid question, but still.
How does it take place?
Maybe you don't have an answer for this.
I'll see what it says in the. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur notes that Lord Krishna would leave the palaces only with the permission of his wives, and thus each one considered herself his favourite. Because each of these princesses, this is the Bhagavatam itself, because each of these princesses saw that Lord Achyuta never left her palace, each thought herself Lord's favourite. These women did not understand the full truth about him. So somehow they're not thinking he has 16,108 forms. But I can't answer the question, basically.
But I mean, they are associating, right, the queens.
What happens in Krishna's pastimes a lot of the time is that Yogamaya covers the devotees so that the pastime can continue. So even in Vrindavan, when Radharani and Krishna meet, sometimes they have Navalila, which means they feel like they're meeting for the first time. So how can they be meeting for the first time? Because they've already met. Right? They've already met eternally, they're meeting. But sometimes they feel that it is the first time they met. So that is by Yogamaya's influence, that they have that feeling. They feel they see each other for the first time, they say, I've never seen anyone so beautiful. Radharani sees Krishna and says, I've never seen anyone like this. And Krishna sees Radharani and says, I've never seen like that. So that is the power potency of Yogamaya. So somehow all these things become reconciled by Yogamaya.
Or maybe they are so secretive about it that they don't tell anybody that Krishna is staying in their palace.
They're
all keeping it as a secret, you know.
It could be. And that goes on for eternity. They all keep the secret. I think it's Yogamaya like that. Somehow covers them like that. So the relationship. Because it describes that if Yogamaya doesn't cover the devotees in the spiritual world, then they all remember his God. And as soon as they remember his God, the sweetness of the pastimes disappears. So Yogamaya continuously covers the devotees so that they never remember that Krishna is God. Yeah, it's prema, it's love. It describes that there are the five types of rasas. Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. So in Vrindavan, there is only the three higher rasas. There's only Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. In Vrindavan, there's no pure Dasya. There's no pure mood of servitorship. But in Vaikuntha, there is only Dasya, or Shanta. But there is Dasya. There's only the mood that he is the Lord, he is our master, I am the servant, like that. So it is prema, it is love. It's described to be love for the Lord, but it's all based on he is the supreme entity. Just like in ancient times, the citizens may have loved the king, but there's always that mood of reverence, awe and reverence. Whenever they met the king, if they ever met the king, there was great respect. Right? So then the intimacy of the relationship could not develop because of that respect was so overwhelming. So that's what it's like in Vaikuntha. They love the Lord, but it's purely based on the fact that the Lord is our master and we are his servant. Like that. There's no friend, it's not friendship. They don't have like a friendly exchange with the Lord. I mean, it's, friendship is there within Dasya, but it's always based on great respect. Right? The way they treat him is with great. It's like the way we treat the spiritual master. Right? We love the spiritual master, but the great respect is there. Like that. So it's like that kind of mood. No, it's based on awareness of his Aishwarya or his opulence. It's not ignorance, but it's awareness of who he is, how powerful he is. Just like you see in the Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna saw the universal form, then at the end of it he says, I did not understand who you were. Right? I used to sit on the bed with you, we used to joke, we used to talk, we used to take our meals together. Right, we used to practice archery together. There was a very friendly relationship. But if I understood you were this, if I understood you were everything, God, you know, all powerful, I would not have related to you in such a familiar way. So the reason that they have that kind of mood towards the Lord is because they're aware of his position, his supremacy. Whereas in Vrindavan, there is no awareness of his supremacy. Right, they think he is part of the village. They think he is a member of the community. They think he is our son, or he is our friend, or he is our lover, like that. But they never think that he is the. They don't have awareness of his position, like that. Does it make sense?
Yeah, it is very pertinent to understand this aspect of, you know, for example, what was down to the lexicon in this very fearful way.
Yeah, it's not developed prema, but it's still, you could say in Vaikuntha, yeah, the relationship is based on fear. Like that, because it's based on fear that if we do not respect the Lord, you know, no one will ever do anything out of line in Vaikuntha. Right? Because he is the supreme personality. So therefore they'll never breach that etiquette. Right? They'll always treat, so there's a fear of following, of not respecting his position. And that's what Vaidhi Bhakti is based on. Yeah, we practice Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. It's based on fear. We have to chant our rounds. Right? We have to worship the deity in a particular way. Right? We have to be on time. Right? That's based on a certain amount of fear. Right? But when one develops to a higher level, right, which is like rag, rag means spontaneity. It's not that I have to chant my rounds, it's that I want to chant my rounds. Right? Like Prabhupada said, why 16 rounds? Why not 16,000 rounds?
Mm-hmm.
Right? That should be the feeling that comes from the devotee, that he wants to chant. Not that I have to, but I want to. That's the difference between Vaidhi and Rag. Right?
Mm-hmm. But fear also means anxiety. And Vaikuntha is annoying. So is it really fear?
And there's some like fear there of, because they would never overstep the etiquette. It is described like,
out of love, not out of fear.
But in Nectar of Devotion it mentions this point, yeah, about fear. like that. It's if like if you read Dhanadas Swami's book, Waves of Devotion, like his commentary on Nectar of Devotion, then he describes these points. The Vaidhi Bhakti is based on fear. So it's not like they're in Vaikuntha, it's not like they're constantly overwhelmed with fear, like, oh, you know, it's awe and reverence. But the fear element means that they would never overstep an etiquette. Just like in Goloka Vrindavan, they'll steal things from Krishna's plate. Like, you know, Krishna's having a picnic. You know, the cow boys will say, like, you know, what's that? You know, like that. I mean, would you ever do that to the deity? Yeah. Krishnagra just walks past and he sees something good and he goes, yeah.
Krishna,
look at this. Yeah, he says, oh, gee, there's a black spot up there. Puts a coin in his mouth. Like, you'd never do that. Right? So in Vaikuntha, they would never do that. In Vaikuntha, there's no concept of overstepping, and that's where the fear is, like that. Because he's supreme. You never touch the supremes. You never break the etiquette. But in Vrindavan, then it's all different.
Krishna is source of everything. So Krishna is source of yoga maya as well. Yeah. And when, as you say, Krishna and Radharani meet in such a mood, Krishna, that they feel that they are meeting for first time. So, and they don't know each other like that. So in that case, is Krishna controlled by yoga maya?
No, he's not controlled by it, but he allows himself to become covered by it, like that. It's wrong to say that yoga maya is superior to Krishna, because that means that Krishna's shakti is superior to him, and if his shakti is superior to him, then he is not supreme anymore. The shakti is supreme. Right? But that's not the Siddhanta. The Siddhanta is Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the supreme entity and everything else emanates from him. So he allows himself, if he wants, he can allow his energy to overcome him. But it's because he allows it. It's not because the energy is superior to him, but he allows it. And that's how the pastime. Otherwise, where's the enjoyment for him? Right? Every day in the spiritual world, in Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna has Ashtakaliya Leela, which means he has eightfold daily pastime. So if Krishna gets up in the morning, right, and Krishna thinks, well, I know what's going to happen today, then where's the enjoyment? There's no enjoyment. Oh, who's on the list today? Okay, we've got Kaliya at 10 o'clock, we've got Palambasura at 2 o'clock, and I've got to meet the gopis at 3 o'clock. And, like, you know, where's the pleasure? There's no pleasure, right? So Krishna is covered by yoga maya, so that whenever the pastimes take place, Krishna is always, you know, it says when Krishna has rasa lila, which is his highest pastime, right, the highest pastimes, it's above all the other pastimes. Rasa lila is supreme to everything. It says that when Krishna enters rasa lila, because yoga maya takes control, right? Rasa lila takes control. It says that Krishna is just like a puppet. Right? He just enters into the rasa lila and then everything just going on around him. Like that, he's just enjoying like that. But he's never thinking, oh, I am doing that, I am controlling that. Okay, you know, that gopi over there, you know, move your little finger. That's good. Like that, and then, yeah, it starts. Right? He just enjoys like that. He doesn't have to think, I'm doing anything. Right? So that's his inconceivable potency. That's called achincha shakti. Achincha, beda, tattva. Although God is supreme, but he allows his energy to rule him. Like that. That's achincha, that's inconceivable. But that's how Krishna does it.
Okay. Is identifying with the material mind the same as identifying with the material body, or is there a difference?
Well, it's different, but it's similar. Like that. Just like you think you are the body, right? But the body is a different thing. But then the mind, I mean, it's all related. You could say it like that. Like that. It's the same, but it's also, you know, when you look at it subtly, you can see the differences. But it's also the same thing. Just like, you know, if you look at your body, you think, I am a male, right? Because that's the body I have, right? And the mind identifies with that body. And then the mind becomes like, takes on the bhava of, I am a male. So therefore, when you see a female, you think that is for my enjoyment. Aham mameti. Right? I and my. That is my enjoyment. Because I am a male. That's what I identify with. Like that. So it's part of the package, but like that. Does that make sense? Or?
Yeah.
Any other question? Okay.
This is so basic and I'm so sorry to raise it, and I can't understand it, and I've never been able to understand it. And I can repeat it, but when the Holy Dao comes to the material world, it never has any contact. We have the super soul and the soul within us, and you know, the super soul ignites the soul, but it never has any contact. You know, the super, the consciousness of the world is in plant, animals, and humans, but it has no contact. And the material world is a reflection of the spiritual world, and I cannot comprehend it. I can tell you this, but I can't understand it. Is there a simple way you could explain it?
The way you explained it is correct. That when the Lord appears in this world, the Dharma comes with him. That's our Siddhanta, that's our understanding, that's how it's described in the scriptures. And the Lord is all pervasive. He pervades everything as Paramatma. He's everywhere as Paramatma. But at the same time, he's not in contact with the material energy, even though he's in every single atom of this energy, but he never directly contacts that energy. So that's a chincha, that's inconceivable. How can he be in it but not contacting it? Then that's inconceivable. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the difference between matter and spirit.
So is that what it is, a chincha? It's inconceivable?
Yeah, it's inconceivable.
Okay.
That's the way it's described by the Acharyas. They say, when you're dealing with Krishna, you know, you keep going, you keep going, you keep going, you keep going, you try to understand him more, and you keep going, and you study more, and you keep going, and then you get to a point where you just fold your hands and just say, you are what you are. And I surrender to you, like that, because I can't understand you. Because Lord Brahma tried to understand him, and Lord Brahma is the topmost intelligence in this universe. Like, he has the highest intelligence. His intelligence is, you know, godly. It's so powerful, his intelligence. And when he came before him, he just said, you know, I don't know what you are. I've got no idea what you are. You know, I came and, you know, I tried to, you know, I don't know what I'm dealing with here. So he just described, he's a chincha. Just leave him at that. And just love him, that's the point. Just learn to love him. Don't worry about what he is, just learn to love him. Because he's obviously God. So just learn to love him. Yeah, that's our philosophy on that side.
Like in the spiritual world, there's no differentiation between the soul and the body, right? Because the body is completely spiritual. So couldn't we say that, you know, this false identification of the living entity in the material world that he identifies with the body, that might be some, you know, some kind of a leftover there from the identification in the spiritual world, because actually there is no difference between the soul and the body.
No, that's where it comes from. It comes from that concept. It's like all of us are attached to the body and all of us fear death. Right? The reason we fear death and we're attached to the body is because we have a spiritual body and we're actually used to the fact that we don't die.
Yeah.
So when death is imposed upon us, right, and then, you know, we have to leave the body, it's an artificial concept for the soul. That's why that's there. That ignorance is there. So even Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions, I think in the Sri Krishna Samhita, he says that even for pure devotees, when they appear in the material world, they appear in a particular family or a particular country or area, they feel a natural inclination, or I am a Bengali, or I am a, you know, in this particular family. Just like, you know, Prabhupada was in his family. So, you know, this natural affection like that. And that Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes that's because of what it's like for the soul. Because in the spiritual world, like, you live in Vrindavan, that's your village. So everyone in Vrindavan, they think this is the best village. That's how everyone thinks in the spiritual world. They think this is the best village. And why? Because Krishna lives here. But that this is the best village. And they think this is my family. You know, this is my mother. Because in the spiritual world, we have a family. Yeah, it's not that, you know, we're all under it. There's a family there. It says that when you give, it describes in Harinam Chintamani by Haridas Thakur that each gopi, like when you begin to meditate on your original form, part of the meditation is you meditate on who your parents are. So when you go to Vrindavan, you have a village, you have a home, you have a house. It's all there. It's waiting for us to go back to it. that original form. So it's natural for us to think like that. When we come to the material world, we just carry that conception. But then the conception becomes contaminated with false ego. So we think that I am this, but actually we're not this. The devotee thinks, you know, this is not my eternal position. You know, we understand we may have this natural affection for our family and our country and so forth, but this is not our eternal position. It's okay.
But in the spiritual world, the beings is also identified with their position, right?
Yeah, but that position is eternal, so therefore it is correct. But to identify the position here is asat, so therefore it's ignorance. Well, that's
it. Prabhupada told that Rukmani is the expansion of Radharani. But yesterday we heard that Radharani is the expansion of Rukmani. So would you like to give us some more about this?
No. Rukmini is an expansion of Chandravali. Satyabhama is an expansion of Radharani. Like that. That's our understanding.
Satyabhama is an expansion of Radharani.
Yeah. And when Krishna goes to Dwarka, then Radharani expands as Satyabhama. And Chandravali, who is the other main gopi in Vrindavan, she expands as Rukmini. Like that. That's how it works. That's good. So. Well.
There's no birth or death in the spiritual world, right? So say if we go back to Goloka Vrindavan, we don't take birth there. Yeah? So what happens? Do we just like wake up from a dream or something? What was it? We just dream.
As we start heading back, which is, you know, what we're starting to do now and what we're supposed to be doing now, but when we start getting closer, then what happens is that Krishna, right now, Krishna is in the material, there's hundreds and thousands of material universes. So Krishna was in this universe we're in now. He was here 5,000 years ago, but right now he's in one of the other material universes. So what happens is that when you reach bhava, which means very advanced devotion, then you take birth in that particular universe where Krishna is right now in the material world, and you get trained up. Like you take birth as a gopi or as a cowherd boy, and you grow up and in the village, and you get trained up by everyone else there who's a pure devotee, because they're engaging Krishna's pastimes. You get trained up how to be a pure devotee. And then from there, then you go into Goloka Vrindavan. So when you get to Goloka Vrindavan, it describes it in different ways. Sometimes it describes, like in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it says when Gopal Kumar came back, when Krishna saw him coming, like walking towards him, Krishna ran to him and they embraced. And Krishna had the feeling like, oh, you have not been here for a long time. But then there's other descriptions, which I've heard from some of our spiritual masters and so forth, that the whole time that we're in this material world, like millions of lifetimes in this material world, that all happens in an instant in the spiritual world. So I've heard it described by some of our gurus. It's just like you're with Krishna, and then you become some envy comes in the heart, so you kind of turn away, and then you go millions of lifetimes, and then when you get it back together, then you turn back like that, and then everything keeps going. So I don't know what takes place like that, but it's something amongst that.
Thanks.
Well, that's it.
But I mean, in the spiritual world, the mothers also have babies. So how do they come into this?
Not in the spiritual world.
They don't have that exchange, you know, that relationship of child, baby.
Not baby. The babies are only in the Gokul Vrindavan, or the Vrindavan in this world. Because in the Vrindavan in this world, Krishna has Janma Leela, which means Krishna has the appearance pastime and he has the baby pastimes and all that. But in the spiritual world, Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur describes that Krishna is always Kaishora, which is he's always youthful. He's already.
Yeah, but I mean, other babies.
No. No, everyone's as they are. Everyone's in their swarup. There's no development there. Everyone's just eternal. Every day, everyone looks exactly the same. Like, if you're 16 years old, because Krishna's 16 years old eternally, every morning when Krishna gets up, he's 16. Right? There's no younger or older in the spiritual world. And everyone else is the same too. If you're 16, you're always 16. Like that.
Maybe there's eternal babies.
if that was part of the pastimes, but I haven't heard anything about in Goloka that there are babies. But in in this world, like when Krishna comes into the material world in Gokul Vrindavan, it's described that those things take place. You know, babies grow up and all those things take place. But I think up there, I don't think there's any. I mean, unless for Krishna's pastimes there is, but I've never heard.
Well, I mean, it's hard to imagine that there's something in the material world which also gives pleasure and so on, which is not there in the spiritual world.
Well, there's some elements of his Gokul pastimes or his pastimes in this world which are not found there. So it's like Prabhupada mentions that the Pandavas are only in the Krishna's pastimes in the material world. There's no Pandavas in the spiritual world. Prabhupada mentions that. So there are some things which are only in the material. One of them is Krishna's Janmalila, where Krishna himself appears as a baby and appears to go up. That doesn't take place in the spiritual world, in Goloka.
What you said is that Jaya Vijaya will be seen. In spiritual world, Jaya Vijaya will be seen. You can't differentiate. Who is there?
Last time you saw them, that was. I'll have to take your word for it because I have not seen them for some time.
I have read somewhere. Jaya Vijaya Loop is exactly the same.
The same.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Srila Prabhupada Ki.
Jaya.